possibly can in this big year and get the most out of God's word in 2022. But I want to talk about the Bible today. I talk about this book that we're going to be studying. It's an ancient book. You know, this has been written by more than 40 human authors, probably many more than 40 authors, written in three languages, written in more than a dozen countries on three different continents over a period of several hundred years. It is the best-selling book of all time. It is the best-selling book every single year, by the way. If you Google it, they'll tell you Harry Potter is, no, the Bible is infinitely more popular and better selling than Harry Potter year after year after year. It's also the most frequently given away book, as well as the best-selling book. And I'm not even joking about this, it is also the most frequently shoplifted book. Hope they read it. You know what I mean? True story. It's the most controversial book ever written, sparking debates throughout its history. More people have lost their lives in defense of this book than any other piece of literature. There are many, many people who believe it is worth giving up their life to smuggle this book into places where it's not allowed, or to speak about its truth and to preach it, even in places where it's illegal, and they do it anyway and pay with their lives. It's been studied and dissected for generations all over the world. It's been translated into almost every language on the planet. In fact, in many places, it is the only book that's found in a certain language. In fact, the language had to be, they had to find a way to write, to pen this language down just so that they could translate the Bible into this language. And yet it is so largely misunderstood. And I think in no small part because although people know a lot of things about the Bible, not that many people are really reading it. You might have a lot of them lying around your house with a thin film of dust on the top of it. And we've got books about the Bible. I have some in my office that are actually longer than the Bible itself, books about the Bible. But it's the reading of Scripture that contains the power. Because sometimes when we do read the Bible, we do it in, like, there's no other book that we study like the Bible where we just quickly glance at a verse and quickly glance at a paragraph and hope that that is enough. But very seldom do we sit down and methodically go through the whole story. One of the excuses is that it's such a long book. But word for word, it's shorter than the Harry Potter series, by the way. And this year, we hope to change a bit of that by giving our whole year to studying the Scriptures and going right through. And so to whet our appetite, I want to speak about the Bible and what the Bible actually says about itself. So if you're counting down, if you've got a chicken in the oven or something like that, seven things that the Bible says about itself. And that's all I want to look at today, because it is the book, the gift that God has given us to draw us closer to Himself and to reveal Jesus as our Savior. And so the first thing I want to say about this, what the Bible says about itself is that the Bible is God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God Himself has brought this book into being, and He's inspired all of these 40-plus human authors by His Holy Spirit, guided what they recorded, and breathed life into this as they wrote it on papyrus, as they wrote it on ancient scrolls, as they copied those ancient scrolls and passed them down from generation to generation. We believe God has miraculously preserved His Word for our benefit. And so we're supremely confident about this, that when you open the Bible, when you read it, God speaks. God speaks. I've had many conversations with people say, I would love for God to speak to me. His primary means by which He speaks to His people is through His Word. But if you casually flip it open and go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, verse today, boom. You give God that much opportunity to truly speak into your life. The more time you put into this, you hear God speaking and you learn to discern His voice. It is His Word. Those of you who want to experience God speaking to you this year. Open up your Bible. The second thing is that God's word is alive. Hebrews tells us this, that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's quite an intense verse. I'm not going to unpack that too much. But it's telling us that the Bible has a mission. Like any living thing, it has a mission, and the mission of the Bible is to bring about transformation in our lives, to transform you and to make you a little bit more like Jesus every time that you dig into the Word. And this is why we have these incredible experiences with the Bible. Maybe, I don't know if any of you can testify to this. I know many of you can. Where you've read a passage that's familiar, something you've read before, something you've heard before, but yet something jumps out of the page at you this time that you've never noticed before. And it rocks your world. Anybody, you've had that kind of experience? Well, obviously, the more you read the Bible, the more that kind of stuff starts to happen. And I love this picture that we get given by an ancient rabbi who said that the Word of God is like a beautiful crystal with many facets. It's a clear crystal with many facets, and it refracts light differently all the time. Same crystal, same truth, same Bible, but every time you look at it and you shift it ever so slightly, it refracts the light differently. That's an amazing description of what Scripture is like and why it is living and active. It's never the same old stuff again. It doesn't matter how many times you read through the Scriptures. There's always something new and something fresh in there. God's Word is living and is active. The third thing, the Bible is life-giving. And there's many passages that affirm this. But the longest chapter in the whole of the Bible, anyone know what it is off the top of your head? Psalm 119, well done, Amy. Psalm 119, I'm not going to read all 176 verses this morning. I'm just going to pick one. It kind of gets the central theme of Psalm 119, which really is a celebration of the gift of God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Spending time studying the Scriptures, it starts to shape our path and direct us towards life. It directs us, firstly, obviously, towards the life giver who is God Himself by revealing His character, by revealing His love for us, by revealing the way that He's interacted with us as people. But also, it leads us towards life in abundance one step at a time when we make Scripture our staple diet. I'm concerned by how people seem to read a lot of books, again, about the Bible. Watch a lot of YouTube videos about the Bible. You know, watch little snippets here and there in the social media stuff that gets passed around and a verse every now and then. But our staple diet needs to be Scripture, and we then can supplement it with all of these other things and not the other way around. When we do this, Scripture begins to shape us, to mold us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to train us for righteousness as we make Scripture our foundation. And that's my fourth point. The Bible is a firm foundation. The Bible shapes our worldview. And we need this. We need an anchor today. Maybe more than ever before. Maybe more than in any other generation. We need a firm foundation and an anchor. If you consider the many thousands of hours that you individually are exposed to the media, whether it's your choice or not, through our screens, through our phones, through our interactions, if you consider the impact of our culture on your life and your worldview, and these things are totally warped most of the time, we need a firm foundation of truth, and that is the Bible. And Jesus gives us this promise when He starts talking about the word, His own words. And you know the story of the man who builds his house on the firm foundation and the man who builds his house on the sand. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, the Scriptures, and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat in that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And we know we've experienced waves in the last couple of years. We've experienced storms of uncertainty, disaster, maybe storms of temptation, maybe storms of loss, maybe storms of doubts. And many more storms will come, but the promise of Jesus is, if your foundation is built on my word, you will stand. You might get battered and bruised, you might feel a little bit worse for wear, but you will stand. You will survive these storms. God's word is a firm foundation. Fifth, the Bible is enough. The Bible is enough. We speak in more sort of fancy terms about the sufficiency of Scripture, but what do we mean by this? Peter describes it like this. He says, we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power when we learned that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness. We have everything we need in God's word to do what God is calling us to do, to live the kinds of lives, to be godly people. It's all there in the instruction manual. You don't need anything more. You don't need a commentary. You don't even need a mediator to come and tell you how it works. In theory, you should be able to be locked up on an island by yourself with the Bible, and it is enough. It is sufficient for all those things. What we struggle with, though, is that we still have so many questions, right? There's so much more we would like to know about the Bible and so many unanswered things. Where did Adam and Eve's kids find wives? I want to know that. But we don't get told that because apparently I don't need to know that in order to honor God with my life. I want to know, how they fed all the animals in Noah's Ark. I want to know why God created cats. You know, I have plenty questions. I can carry on for days. But the Bible is enough, and for that which I don't understand, I can see enough of God's faithful character in the Scriptures that I can trust Him for what I don't yet understand. And I want to just say, as we do this, as we unpack the Scriptures, you're going to find a lot of things that you're going to come up with more questions than answers. I almost guarantee that. You're going to find things that you don't quite understand or that you don't even like, perhaps. Some of you that have been reading through Job, you're already there, okay? But it is enough to develop in us the saving kind of faith that God wants for his people, that we be in right standing with God because of Jesus Christ. But it brings me to my sixth point. The Bible is, and it says this about itself, hard to understand. Amen? You thought it was just you. No, the Bible says about itself, it is hard to understand. It's quite an interesting passage of scripture at the end of 2 Peter, where Peter, who's an apostle, talks about Paul, who is also an apostle of Jesus. And the two of them, by the way, are both, as they're saying these things, writing New Testament scriptures. But Peter says to his listeners, to those who are reading his letter, he says, Paul talks about these same things in all his letters, but part of what he says is hard to understand. If you've read Romans, you know what he's talking about. It's hard to understand. There are big words and lots of words and terms and all kinds of things. Some ignorant and unsteady people even destroy themselves by twisting what he said, and they do the same thing with other scriptures too. So Peter's now affirming what Paul writes as scripture, by the way, which is fascinating. But he says, guys, sometimes it's hard to get your brain around it. There are tough things that we're going to be wading through this year in the journey through the Bible. There are tough things that some of you have already stumbled into, like genealogies, okay, where so-and-so begat so-and-so. Okay, we don't use the word begat so much anymore, but he was the father of him, and he was the father of him, and it goes on for pages and pages and pages. We're like, oh, man, this is tough. Or hundreds and hundreds of laws about ceremonial cleansing and what to do when you slaughter a goat and things like that. And we're like, okay, you kind of wade through those things. But there's also tough things like God ordering the destruction of people, men, women, and children, and how do we wrap our heads around those things, right? And I am telling you now, I don't have all the answers. Jan, go for it, ask him, go drive him crazy, phone him in the middle of the night if you need to know. No, we don't have the answers. We don't have the answers. And it is difficult sometimes, but nothing worth doing comes easily. So we must persevere through the tough stuff and trust God with what we don't understand. Now, before I get to the last point, I want to just paint a picture of how the big year is what the plan is for 2022. We're going to tackle this in four seasons. So those of you who are into series and watching on TV, there's four seasons to the big year. Four sections of 10 weeks at a time. So we're going to start next week with the first section, 10 weeks, that'll take us from Genesis to the end of Judges, all right? And that's the first chunk that we're going to look at. And then the fourth chunk that we look at is the New Testament. So that's how it goes. And we're going to take a couple of weeks break in between each section to just catch our breath. For those who are doing the reading plans, and I really want to encourage everybody to do a reading plan, the first reading plan is called the Big Year Max, which means you're going to go word for word through the whole Bible. And you'll catch everything, every genealogy, every begat in the whole thing, okay? That's Big Year Max. And I know some of you have already started, a bunch of you have already started, and you've been nagging me, what's next, what are we reading next week, and whatever. That's fantastic. Really, really excited about that. The Big Year Standard, which will start from next week. Big Year Standard, you're going to read about half of the Bible. And so I'm gonna cut out some of the genealogies and some of the laws and things like that and focus on the most relevant parts. And everybody can do that. 5 days a week, 15 minutes a day. I'm a pretty slow reader, and I'll be able to do it in 15 minutes a day. And you're going to be able to follow the whole journey from Genesis to Revelation, and you're going to get a lot out of that. If you really are not up for that, and that's a bit too much reading for you, there's the Big Year Blitz. Okay, and the blitz is 3 days a week, 10 minutes, all right, where you're going to do the main chunks, the highlights version of it, but you'll be able to keep up with the flow. There is no fourth option. You have to pick one of those three, okay? That's how we're rolling this whole thing out, and I'm really, really excited about it. But here's the disclaimer, because some of you are going to get frustrated because it's not all neatly packaged, and it doesn't always flow completely symmetrically. Take that up with the author. That's not my fault, okay? And I'm warning you, don't come and complain and say, well, we're not lining up. Sometimes you'll be in line with what we're preaching on Sunday. Sometimes the readings will be a little bit ahead or a little bit behind. Just, it's going to be okay. We'll get through it all right? The point being, the great win for all of this is that we're all reading our Bibles this year. That's what I'm most concerned about. And the stuff that's going to be hard to understand, we work through it. We'll have fantastic discussions, and we'll have some answers, and many not answered, but we're going to go through it anyway. But here, let me get to the last point. This is crucial because it dictates the way that we're going to study everything this year, that the Bible is all about Jesus. Now, those of you who know your Bible might be like, hang on a second, Jesus only arrives in season 4. What about season 1, 2, and 3? Well, I want to suggest to you that Jesus is the primary character of season 1, 2, and 3 as well, even before he's born. And we're going to be reading the Bible with what we're going to call our Jesus-tinted glasses. Okay, we have the privilege of the whole script, the whole story. We know how it ends even. And we know that Jesus is the hero of the entire thing. He is the Savior. He is the one that all of the Old Testament is pointing towards. So as we look for these first three seasons back at the Old Testament, we're looking for Jesus all over the place. It's like God has placed these hidden Easter eggs of Jesus everywhere. In Noah's Ark, I promise you. In the Exodus. In the exile. All of these places, Jesus starts to emerge off the pages when we start looking for him. One of the things I found quite fun about the last couple of months, because there hasn't been all that much live sport going on, so Supersport keeps playing repeats of the 2019 Rugby World Cup final. How much fun is it watching that game, knowing the end results? It's awesome. You just sit back and relax. You're like, I love this part. I love this part. Cheslin's coming now. You know, whatever. And that's kind of the thing. We know the end result, yet we get to look back and enjoy how it all unfolds anyway with greater passion and a greater appreciation of God's brilliance in this unfolding story. And Jesus tells us, by the way, that he is the central focus of all of Scripture. There's an amazing story where Jesus is walking just after his crucifixion, and his resurrection. He's walking down a road with two disciples, only he is hidden from them. They can't tell. They don't know that it's Jesus, and they're just chatting casually. They start pouring their hearts out about Jesus who died, and they don't know what to do now with their lives. And Jesus says to them, hey, you guys don't understand anything. Jesus then explained everything from Luke 24:27 about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. Jesus explained to these two men from the Old Testament all about himself. And then eventually their eyes were open, they realized who he is. Earlier on in his ministry, Jesus is speaking to a bunch of experts, Bible experts at the time. And he tells them that for all of their learnedness, and many of these guys probably would have known the Old Testament off by heart, but he says, you guys have missed the central focus of the Bible because you don't understand. It's actually all about me. He says this in John 5. You search the scriptures because you think you will find eternal life in them. The scriptures tell about me, but you refuse to come to me for eternal life. This is Jesus testifying. It's actually all about me. So we look for Jesus everywhere. And he is everywhere. It's going to be the main thing I think that we glean out of our walk through the scriptures. So I hope I've whet your appetite. I don't even know what the word. And that you're up for this. And so here's how you jump in again with both feet. Pick a reading plan, max, standard, blitz. You can join a life group. There's a sign up on our website, and you can sign up for a life group. There's one most days of the week, and there's something really special about unpacking God's word in community and learning together and navigating through some of the tough stuff together. And so if you're not a part of a life group, sign up, come and chat to me, and we'll try and find one that sort of suits your availability and sort of season of life, let me put it that way, that you find yourself in. Big part of this challenge is to young families in particular, if you've got young kids, school-aged kids, to have a weekly Bible devotion together as a family. And Janine puts together the most phenomenal material for family devotions. So just put aside a half an hour maximum. We kind of generally use this rule of thumb, you play to the lowest common denominator in your family, and that kids have a concentration span of about 1 minute per year of age. So if you've got a five-year-old in your family devotions are going to be about 5 minutes. Okay, that's about as much as you can get. But Janine puts a little icebreaker and a game and some fun stuff together. And the challenge, as a family, do this thing. Journey through the Bible together. How wonderful is it going to be? I know some of the parents are like, oof, I don't know my Bible well enough to teach my kids. Pretend you do. Just pretend for a second. You know, do your homework beforehand. They'll be amazed by you. They'll be so encouraged. Okay? But do it. Jump in, family devotions. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, come and speak to me. I've got piles of Bibles that I'd be glad to give you a Bible. If you are following online, if you're looking for something on your phone, there's a fantastic app called YouVersion, and you can keep up with the Bible on there. But you just, like, just all I'm saying is you don't have an excuse not to jump into this thing with both feet. It is going to be great. We're going to grow together. And remember this as I close off. You will get out of this as much as you put in. You will get out of this as much as you put in. We're going to create as much opportunity for growth as possible, but you have to grab it with both hands. I want to read a poem that I found in one of those commentary books I was talking about earlier. But it's a testimony, I guess, of somebody who decided to do a big year and to read through his Bible. He says this, I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit and miss, now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis, certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the word, but I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do, and the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. Oh, the massive, mighty volume. Oh, the treasures manifold. Oh, the beauty of the wisdom and the grace it proved to hold. And the story of the Hebrews swept in majesty along as it leaped in waves prophetic as it burst to sacred song. as it gleamed with Christly omens, the Old Testament was new, strong with cumulative power when I read the Bible through. Our imperial Jeremiah with his keen, caressant mind, and the blunt old Nehemiah and Ezekiel, refined. Newly came the minor prophets, each with his distinctive robe. Newly came the song, idyllic, and the tragedy of Job. Deuteronomy, the regal, to a towering mountain grew with its comrade peaks around it when I read the Bible through. What a radiant procession as the pages rise and fall, James the sturdy, John the tender, or the myriad-minded Paul. Vast apocalyptic glories, wheels and thunder, flash and flame, while the church triumphant raises one incomparable name. Ah, the story of the Savior never glows supremely true till you read it whole and swiftly, till you read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel aweary and yawn through a hurried prayer, you who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the gift of your word. And I thank you for every willing participant, some who have already jumped in with both feet. But I pray that you will move us into this and that as we open your word, you'll speak. Speak life to us. Build us up. And glorify your son, Jesus, through this big year. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's